How many remember the old song that says, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Well, she must have felt the Spirit moving this morning because it brought her here even in the snow. And we're thankful for that. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You know, we could learn something from the mailmen. Y'all are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. So neither rain, neither or snow, nor sleet, nor dark of night will keep us from our rounds, from our stayed rounds. That's the way it should be with the Lord, amen? There are circumstances and things we don't have any control over except to believe God and pray, amen? God has control, and we want His will, amen? It's not what we want, it's what He wants, because He knows best, amen? His name's not Robert Young, Father knows best. He is a Father who does know best, amen? Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, it seems so insignificant, but we do proclaim that we love You this morning. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You're concerned about everything in our lives. We thank You that You're in control of everything in our lives. Lord, this carnal nature is so silly. We have Your truth, and yet we get caught up in things we see, things we hear, in emotions and feelings, Lord, which are not real. They're what You gave us, Lord, but they're part of how You created us, but they're not truth, Lord. Amen. What You say, Lord, and who You are is truth. If we could just learn once and for all to trust and rely on You and not look at circumstances and let these human emotions get in the way, but stand strong and say, Lord, You are the answer, and Your thoughts are good for me. Their thoughts giving me and wanting to give me a hope and a future. We want to be among those who say, yes, Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. Amen. Not those who stand and wonder and cry and whine. Lord, there's too many things that come. This last time, the devil seems to be going crazy, Lord, because he knows he's finished. He knows his time is short. But Lord, we know the truth. And we ask for Your grace, for Your mercy, to help us continue to run this race with poise, with faith, and with joy, Lord, in Jesus' name. We release this service to You, Holy Spirit. Have Your way. Bring our Father's will into this house and touch every heart and life this morning. We praise You and thank You for that in Jesus' name. If you all agree with that, say amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want Donna to come and share. Amen. We need to rejoice with those that rejoice, mourn with those that mourn. Amen. We need to be all things to all people. And we need to be cognizant of one another's lives, what's going on, where there's a need. Amen. Where somebody needs somebody to stand up and say, I'm with you. I'm behind you. I'm supporting you. Amen. It's not enough just to think it. Sometimes it has to be physically shown. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I think it ties in really well. I heard Pastor Bill here praying this morning and saying, you know, God, we want You to be in control, not our will, but Your will.
Yes.
So how long do you think it might be that's too long to believe for something to happen? 120 years? That's how old Moses was. How about 100 years it took Noah to build that boat? How about like 30 years that Abraham and Sarah waited for the promised son? How about 20 years? Is that too long to wait? Y'all have been praying for my dad. Physically, he's not doing real well. But he accepted Jesus this week as his Lord and Savior. I've been praying for him for 20 years, and my sister has been praying for him even longer than that. What my stepmom said was he had to come to the end of himself, and that's what we've been praying. Lord, just bring him to the end of himself.
Yes.
And the other word she used was, she said he had to realize he needed to give up control.
Yes.
To let God do what he was going to do. So, I'd still appreciate your prayers. I'm flying to Canada on the 26th of December, and I'm going to stay for about 3 weeks and see what I can do to help out up there. It might well be the last time I see my dad. I don't know. It might well be God will choose to heal him or give him more years, because it's not the doctors that number our days, and it's not even us who numbers our days. God numbers our days. And the doctors have said 2, maybe 3 months from 2 weeks ago. God's bigger than that. So as we pray God's will in the situation. I don't want to, you know, try and put ourselves or put our will in. I mean, I'd like him to have another 20 years. He just turned 80. And one thing he did tell me was that when he was a teenager, he gave his life to the Lord. And he said, and now I guess I'm just wayward. I said, Dad, we're all wayward children. I said, that's where the grace of God comes in. And so, he did that this week on Thursday. I think it was after he'd had this biopsy done. And he did that with the chaplain at the hospital. He went searching for him. He didn't wait for the man to come to him and offer it. He went looking for the pastor and said, I want to talk to you. We got stuff to talk about. And so I just wanted to share that. So prayers get answered by God's faithful people. Amen. And so I don't think this is the first set of prayers God's going to answer and the only set. So I do appreciate the continued prayers for my dad, for my stepmom, for my family, that we can all get there hopefully to see him. I know he's looking forward to us coming again. God's been working for years to orchestrate my dad to this point. 20 years ago, he and my sister, one of my sisters, had a falling out, and they hadn't talked for 20 years until, 19 years. Last year, a year ago, they started communicating again. He actually saw her a year ago in November, and then she came to the family reunion in July. And when I talked to him last night, I said, that was a sweet time this summer, wasn't it, Dad? He said, it sure was. He said, I'm so glad we were able to do that. Because at one point, it didn't ever look like they were ever going to reconcile. He met her children, grandchildren he'd never met. And here's the cool thing about that is my sister is a radiation therapist, cancer therapist. And so she's been able to give him some suggestions and help the family understand some of the process of what's going on. So, God worked all that together for good for those who love him, right, and are called according to his purpose. So thank you.
Thank you, Donna, and we rejoice with you. I'm rejoicing. I want to say something. I want to make a correction here. It's true, what Donna said, but there's more to it than that. See, it's not just our prayers. It's our coming into agreement with God's will. And God has already revealed in His Word what His will is. Do you know why we get shook up? Do you know why we have heartache in our lives? And why we struggle so much is because we have trouble dealing with what we think we don't have control of. And yet if our life is surrendered to God, how many times have we said this? How many know this is true? You're never out of control if He's in control. If you're led by the Spirit of God and you're coming in agreement with Him, the Bible says there's not one thing that you ask for that He will not do. But the other thing that we need to look at here is not the fact of what our will is. Our will is what God wants, what we want God to do. But we have a desire. God knows that. But again, you got to stop and see that it's God's desire that's in us. But the greatest miracle in this is the fact that He rededicated His life or He got born again. I don't know which is true. It's not my business. I rejoice that it happened. Amen? So you see, we're not out of control. But where we struggle and where we get remorseful and where we get mad at God is because we're not in control. We can't change it physically. But we can change it in the Spirit. Amen? Are you listening to me? You should be shouting amen. If you look around this morning, you'll see people who are standing in need of prayer and who have need of fellowship and support and help. Maybe not physical help. Maybe it is physical help. I don't know. But if you feel God stirring in your heart today, will you obey Him? And even if it's just a call of encouragement, would you call the person that God puts on your heart this morning and just encourage them? Lift them up. Even if you just say my thoughts and prayers are with you. Amen. You know, that's all it takes. Remember that God gives you just a cup of cold water, then all He requires of you is just a cup of cold water. Amen. Praise the Lord. So keep that in mind this morning. If there's somebody that's not here that you're missing, give them a call. Encourage them. Bless them. Pray for them. Amen. Tell them they were missed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to give God His tithes and your offerings? Well, let's do that.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we can come into Your house and worship You today. We ask You to bless each and every one that's here today. We ask You to give us open hearts and minds so that we can receive what You have for us today, Heavenly Father. We ask for wisdom in how to handle the things that are coming down on our church and the decisions that we need to make in regards to the future, Heavenly Father. We ask You to bless this offering that we're about to receive. We ask You to bless each and every person that gives something. It may not be money, Heavenly Father, but just their presence and being here. We ask You to bless that, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I would encourage you, if you can at all, most of you do get here a little early, but if you can, come, because sometimes the music that we play prior to the service can be just the catalyst that you need to really get into the Spirit and to really begin to start listening to the voice of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, this morning we honor Your Word. We thank You for the living Word, the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would illuminate our understanding this morning, that we would have, as Bill prayed, receptive hearts, open hearts, and receptive minds for Your Word, and that we'd hear what the Spirit says, Lord, not the Logos, which is the written Word, but the Rhema, the revelation of what's really behind the Word, which is You and Your thoughts and Your will and Your plans, Lord. May we get a hold of it. May it be sealed in our hearts. Thank You for using me, Lord. I ask that You use me. Hide me behind the cross. We lift up Jesus this morning and not man. In Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, God has been dealing with me greatly about some things. And part of that stems not only from what's going on in my life, but what I see in your life. And over the past few years, the struggles that we've had as individuals who are part of the body of Christ, the household of faith, the family of God. I told Connie when I talked to her this week, I said, you know, and I think we can all say this, Lord, and Connie, I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But I'm not stuck on what I don't understand. The one thing that I do understand and that I know more than I've ever known it in my life is the fact that I'm hanging on to Jesus with everything that I have, with everything in me. Because that's the only way you come out on top. Amen? 1 Peter 5:8-11 says, be sober and be vigilant. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for reminding me of that scripture. Be vigilant because your adversary, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now you put whatever word you want there. Destroy, overcome, overwhelm. Verse 9 tells us what we need to do. We need to resist him. Steadfast in what? Faith. In the faith. What faith? The faith of God. Mark 11:24-22 says, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Amen? Knowing. You got to know inside you. You can't just believe, want to say, okay, I accept that. But you got to know inside you. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. See, we're all going through things. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's don't lie against the truth. Let's call the truth the truth. Your brotherhood in the world. Brotherhood means there's kinship, and that comes by family. Amen? We're not talking about fellowship with the world. Amen? I'm going to write this down before I forget it. Verse 10 says, But may the God of grace, excuse me, of all grace, say all grace, who called us to His what? Eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. Now, He's not bringing the suffering, folks. Remember, I just gave you a key here a few moments ago. Where we struggle is in the things we don't feel we have physical control over. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's where we get rattled. And as long as everything's going good, man, we're trusting God, or we're going through the motions and stuff. But the minute something comes up that we don't have physical control of, or we can't control, that's where we lose control of ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm speaking the truth to you. You know I am. And that's why I'm saying that, you know, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand why Stan passed away. I don't understand why God called him home. I don't understand why the whole thing started with me getting sick, being in the hospital for 5.5 months. I don't understand all that. I know I've come out the other side better than I was before I went in and when I was in, but the point is, I don't understand. But I'm not seeking the understanding of that. I want to draw closer to the Lord because that's where my help is. That's where my stability is. That's where my faith is. Amen? Amen? In that verse it says, but may the God of all grace who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It's not that you don't feel and that you don't have things going on, but the more mature you get, the more strengthened, the more settled you are in God, knowing that He's the one that has the answer. All the crying and moaning and talking about your problems and situations. How many remember the message I preached a while back? Don't speak about your problems, speak to them. How do you do that? By the Word of God and by believing what God said. How many know He is the answer? I said, how many know He is the answer? Amen. He's the only answer. Verse 11 says, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you hear that word? The dominion. And yet God said when He created man that He gave that dominion to man. He gave it to Adam, and Adam gave it away. Now I want to talk to you about the things that are going on in this world and the things that we struggle with because of the world this morning. John 15, verse 18 and 19 says, if the world hates you, and it seems like the whole world is against anybody who believes in God, it seems that way, but we know better. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And as the prophet said before He went into glory, He said, open their eyes so they can see there's more of us than there are of them. That's more of the angels of God and the protection of God than there are the ones who are coming against them. Amen. Missed a good place to shout. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, listen carefully, the world would love its own. Yet because, listen, you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You want to know why you're struggling with things going on around you and with people and the attitudes of people? Because it hated Jesus and it hates you because you're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Now that doesn't mean that we don't sometimes have the same attacks come on us as the world has, but it means that we have the victory. Amen? The Lord said we are the head in Deuteronomy and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. The Lord said He restored dominion to us. Amen. Because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's move over to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Listen carefully. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Listen to me. Listen to the words. Hear them with your spirit. If you need to close your eyes and think about them as they're said, or you read them, or just meditate on them, do that. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. our faith. Amen? And when you walk and act in faith and talk in faith, you please God, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen. Yes, ma'am. That's called confusion, and it's of the devil. That's what the Bible says. The reason... that's, yes, ma'am. It's right there. I'll look it up for you before we leave. The Bible says, first of all, we're supposed to keep our mind stayed on Him. That's where we get our peace from. If things are controlling your life that you don't like and that cause you not to do the things of God, that means the things are controlling you and not God and His Spirit. I said, I'm going to say it again. Somebody must have missed it. Don't speak about the things that are going on in your life that are negative or trying to overcome you. Speak to them, saying, no, not in my life. God says I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the victor. I have the victory. Jesus paid the price. Everything He did, I have victory over. Jesus took and paid the price for everything that I could suffer or go through. Amen? You speak to it. That's what I'm saying. The reason we get out of it is because we get focused on the negative or things that are surrounding us and we can't control them, so we lose our mind. I'm just being honest. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good now. Do you understand, Deborah? Well, the Bible says you're supposed to be of a sound mind because you've given your mind to Christ. You've taken on the mind of Christ. Amen. That's my confession for you. Now you need to start confessing it. Don't tell me what you don't have. Tell me what God says you have and tell me that's what you're confessing. Amen? Did you get that? Do I need to repeat that? Okay. The Bible says we're going to suffer affliction in this life. Amen? It says we'll have many afflictions, but be of good cheer. Amen? He says, He delivers us out of them all. Amen? John 16:33, book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Listen, these things I have spoken to you. What things? The things that are recorded in His Word. The promises. The gifts. The reality of the work of Jesus on the cross. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Not be tormented by your surroundings. Not be tormented by people who are naysayers. Not be tormented by people who seem to be clamoring to get a hold of you on every side. In the world, you will have tribulation. God never promised us a rose garden. He never promised us a bowl of cherries. But what He did promise us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you in time of trouble. You can call on me and I will show you great and mighty things. That doesn't just mean He'll just show you some nice little thing to comfort you for a moment. It means He'll give you the answer. He'll give you the victory. He'll give you the ability to overcome and put down by the Spirit of God and by coming into agreement with the Word of God everything that comes against you.
Amen.
Will you forgive me if I get fired up this morning? I'm teaching the truth here, folks. You know I am. If you're keeping track or you're taking notes, you can either turn with or write down Hebrews chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. You know, this flesh is something terrible. Flesh is terrible. Because every time a circumstance or something pops up, we run around like a scalded dog, like a wounded pup. Amen. Come on. Hey, you're no different than I am, and I know that's what I do. Thank God I'm getting the victory. Yeah. You ever seen a scalded dog?
No.
Son, you better not be in the way.
Okay.
Hebrews 5, verses 6 through 9. As He also says in another place, you, are we just talking about Jesus? I'm sorry. You are a priest forever. Who's our high priest?
Jesus.
Amen. According to the order of Melchizedek. In verse 7, who in the days of His flesh, that's talking for the resurrection, amen, when He had offered up prayers and supplications and vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. remind you, we're not supposed to fear what man can do to us or the pronouncements of man. Oh, did you hear me? Did you hear that? Family of God, listen. Or the pronouncements of man. God says what's in His hand, no man can pluck out. That means that no report that you receive, I don't care what their education or credentials are, nothing that you hear or somebody tries to come against you with, nothing will be able to take you out of His hand. And that means that you walk in the fullness of His victory all the time. Again, your only part in this is to come in agreement with what God says. Amen? Amen. Some of you are facing physical things. Some of you, members of your family, are facing physical things. I'm talking about ailments, infirmities, dis-ease, discomfort. Some of you, it's your family situation. Your heart's breaking over things that are happening in your family, to your children. Amen? Maybe your grandchildren. But don't, the Bible says, be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. Amen? He's overcome the world. Hallelujah. Who in the days of His flesh, when He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. God doesn't bring the suffering, but He uses the suffering to cause growth and strength and character in us, to bring us to the place where instead of running and crying over every little thing that comes our way, we run to the Father of the truth, you know, Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life. We run to Him, and there's where we get our comfort. There's where we get our strength. And there's where we know He is in control. How many of you have ever had a situation, and the minute you stop to pray and get your mind off that, something inside you, all of a sudden, it's like you got a puffed up chest? Am I the only one? And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal, forever salvation. Amen? To all who obey Him. Stop obeying your flesh. Stop obeying your appetites. Stop obeying those things. Can I tell you something? In the movie Fireproof, one of the things that he had to overcome, and we talked about this recently, and any of you who've seen it, if you haven't seen it, you don't remember, go get them or ask somebody, and we get the movie and we'll play it again. Amen. But in that movie, one of the things that was in that book of his 40-day journey to bring him to a place where he would be in love with his wife, where he would purpose. You understand what I said? Purpose to be in love with his wife. He had to get rid of his addictions and the parasites that try to hang on. What parasites are in your life? Anything that distracts you from the Word of God. Anything that distracts you from the truth and the victory and the power that's in you because you are a priest and a king also. Amen. Come on now. Say amen. You know it's the truth. The only reason I know you wouldn't say amen to that is if you weren't sure it was true. I can tell you everything in that book you're looking at is true. It is truth. It can't be changed. It can't be altered. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 through 15. Listen to me now. Remember I just told you a few minutes ago God never promised us it'd be a bowl of cherries and be a tiptoe through the tulips? Yes, in verse 12. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The only place where you can't be deceived or where the deceiver doesn't try to deceive you is in God, when your focus is on God. Can you say amen? But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Are you assured this morning of the things of God? Knowing from whom you have learned them. Who'd you learn them from? Did you learn them from the world? Not likely, because you can't get them from the world. Those things that come from God are only spiritually discerned. Amen? And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, listen carefully, able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I rebuke that spirit of torment and doubt that tried to come on somebody in this room right now. And I say you have no strength or lot in this place. I heard the devil condemn somebody in their heart just a minute ago, saying, "You're never going to get it right. You always do the wrong thing." It's a growth process, folks. How many know that? You're not going to get it overnight. It's not going to come. And Donna talked about years. How many years is too long to believe God? You can't name a number that's too long. I said, you can't name a number that's too long. Amen. Listen carefully. This scripture is so important. 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. Anybody getting blessed this morning? Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Listen to what's being said. He's talking to you that he loves and me. I said that he loves. Beloved, do not think it strange. When I say I don't understand, that's because strange things are happening. Things that are not things that are written in the Word of God. Amen? They're not mine. They're not for me. They're not for you either. They're brought about by the one who comes to steal and kill and destroy. The one who's in control of this world. You are in the world, but you are what? Not of the world. If we were part of the world would love us, but the world hates us. We're on the right track. Amen? Hallelujah. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. We'll suffer tribulation, but we're supposed to have good cheer. In this world, we'll suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. He's overcome it. It's already settled, and you have the victory, and you don't have to go through those things unless you accept it or you believe it or you don't speak the truth. I caught myself this week over something. I don't remember what it was. I'd divulge it if I could remember. Saying, no, you're not. And not coming. You're not bringing that to me. I'm not accepting that. No way. And I speak to myself and I speak to the devil just like that. Not here, you're not. Not ever, not never. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials that's which try us, as though some strange thing happened to you. Listen, they came against Jesus, didn't they? The devil had the plan to destroy Jesus. In his ignorant, silly stupidity, he thought he was going to do away with Jesus by murdering him. Amen. And all he did was fulfill the plan of God. That's what sin and ignorance in sin, let me put it that way, sin and ignorance in sin brings. Amen. But rejoice, in verse 13, to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, but you don't really partake. Jesus took it all. All you're doing is identifying with it. Are you with me? Did y'all get that or did I lose you? You know, if you don't answer me, I don't know whether we're going forward or going backwards. Did y'all get that? Do you understand what I just said? Okay. That's all I need is just somebody to say something so I know that you heard me and that you're getting it. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, meaning that we feel what he felt. We love him, and so we have that compassion. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Go back and read Romans 8:18. Y'all know what that says, Romans 8:18? It talks about the sufferings we go through in this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the sufferings that Jesus went through. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed, that word blessed means happy are you. You're identifying with the right side, the victory side. And you're going, what? If I'm getting attacked by the enemy, how am I on the blessed side? You're counted worthy to be attacked by the enemy. In other words, he's afraid of you. Did you hear what I said? He's afraid of you. He doesn't attack what he's not nervous about. Amen? I'm not. I don't want to be right. I want to be righteous. He's right. Well, you heard what I just said too. I don't want to be right, I want to be righteous. If you report for the name of Christ, blessed are you. That means happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Ha! Hallelujah. Now, the next few verses I'm going to read to you have to do with the Bible, what the Bible said, and what Jesus said to those who were standing in need, physical need, and spiritual need. Blindness, sickness, amen? You can write these down. You don't have to turn to them. Why? The Word of God is what brings his defeat. He has nothing to stand against that with. Do you understand? He can't combat the Word of God. The Word of God is eternal, and it's settled, and he can't combat it. He's got nothing. He's got no weapons, no ability, no armor, no nothing that can stand against the Word of God. That's why he hates the Word of God. What is the Word of God according to John 1:1? Deborah, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who is that? Who is the living Word? Jesus. Amen. You're getting there. There's hope for you, believe it or not. You may not see it, but I see it. Well, they don't need to believe in Christianity. They need to believe in God. Sure. You know why? Because you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You have favor with God and man. See, have you ever noticed that the devil's like a little yapping puppy snapping at your heels? He got a big mouth, but he doesn't do much. Amen. What you should be doing is when that happens, you just turn around and say, oh. Because he's under your feet anyway. Amen. Did you hear me? That's a good place to say amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 48. Luke chapter 8, verse 48. This is what Jesus said. Listen carefully. The key words. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. What made her well? That's right. Her faith. Now, we can tie our faith to one another. We can see God move in a mighty way. Amen? But it's our own faith that pleases God. Without it, you can't please Him. How many want to please God this morning? Amen. Okay? Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 and verse 22. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on his bed. When Jesus saw their faith, here's a man who's paralyzed, just laying around. How many of you got a picture of that in those days? I'll tell you what, if you've ever been in a third world country like Libya or places like that, you see this all the time right on the street. It's right in your face. Then behold, they brought him to a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, see, faith. Our faith can sometimes move God. Especially if it's in a place where you don't know God and you don't have any faith for the moment. But that's why God moves in those situations, is to build their faith, to show them He's real, and to show your faith is not unanswered. Amen? When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. He didn't say be healed. He said your sins are forgiven you. And, of course, right away, the religious leaders, the people who were supposed to be the big shots, started bad-mouthing him, talking him down. And Jesus confronted them right to their faces. Why do you think evil in your hearts? He knew where it was coming from. Well, I can't do that. So if I can't do it, it must not be right. So, you know, don't ever let the opinion of the world sway you to wrong or to backing off. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And finally, two more. Matthew chapter 14, verses... Oh, I didn't read 22 to you. But hold on here. Let me read 22 to you. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer. Do you notice every time he talked to her and every time he spoke to her, it was be of good cheer? Oh, well, you don't... Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. Jesus, you don't understand the trials. You don't understand what it feels like. Tie it outside. Jesus said he was tempted in all points just as we were, yet without sin. You know why? Because he only said what the Father said. He only spoke what the Father spoke. He only did what the Father said to do. If you do anything else, you can't please the Father. And that's why, because he went through everything, he can be that effective high priest and advocate for us standing at the right hand of God. Amen? Lord, don't let my voice go. In fact, I thank you my voice is not going to go. In Jesus' name. You know, that's another thing. Dear God, I don't understand us. We are about the most backwards species on the planet. Other animals just do what they know to do, and they don't think twice about it. They don't care if it ruins your day. They don't care if it makes your life a little difficult. How many know what I'm talking about? Why don't we do that to the devil? Why do we get fussed and start doubting already? I've already given you the answer. It's because we can't have trouble dealing with what we're not physically in control of. But you are spiritually in control of everything. Did you hear what I said? You are spiritually in control of everything. Matthew 14, verse 27. I'm just going to give you the last one. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to give it to you. Here's what verse 27 says. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I." Who are you talking to? Who are you looking at? Who are you calling on when you pray? It is I. Do not be afraid. And he's speaking to Peter in this particular instance. Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come." He didn't say invite me or ask me. He said command me. Peter, come here on the water. Come to me on the water. Amen? We all know that story. The last one, you can write it down, is Mark 6, verse 50. Mark chapter 6, verse 50. Amen. We're just about to quit, folks. We're to come to the end. Not the end, the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Man, I'm having fun this morning. You know, that's kind of strange. How can you have fun when you're getting kicked in the rear? I'll leave that alone and let you meditate on that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. That was the last one. I told you I wasn't going to read that. I'm just going to give it to you and you can read it. And it's another one that says, be of good cheer. Here's what it says. Here's what it's all about. Here's what I'm supposed to do and what you're supposed to do to others, including those of your own house, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your sons, your daughters. Amen? Matthew 28, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I have written in capital letters, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So be it. So be it. So you got a promise right there that he's with you always, to the very end. Why are you struggling? Why are you fussing? Why are you moping and crying and whining? Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What happens when the righteous run into that strong tower? The Bible says they're safe. Psalm 91:1. He that dwells or lives has taken up residence under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow, live under the shadow of the Almighty. And you can say of the Lord, he is my what? First of all, he's my refuge. Then he's my fortress. Then he's my God. And he's the one I put my trust in. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. Amen. You ever notice how when you get in a situation, if you'll run to God, not only in prayer, but start speaking the Word, letting the Holy Spirit remind you of what the Word says? When something happens, say, wait a minute. Just like I told you, I said the other day, not here. You're not bringing that here. I'm not receiving that. I don't accept that. You take that back. You return it to the sender. Amen. Now, if I could and it'd make it easier for you to remember it, I'd sing Elvis's song, Return to Sender, Address Unknown. But I don't sound like him, and this morning I couldn't sing if I wanted to at the moment. Anyway, amen. God's good, isn't he? You know, all he wants from us is to trust him, to give up this idea of wanting to control everything and becoming frustrated when we're not in control, when we can't control the things that are going on around us. Even though we may not be, he is always in control of himself, of the situation, and all you got to do is turn to him. Didn't Jesus even say, and he said it about us too, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. And that means in everything. He says, listen to me. No good thing would he withhold from you. How many think it's good when a loved one passes away? How many think it's good when somebody gets in a car accident? It's not good from our standpoint. But again, we are. And like when I prayed this morning, I think it was when we were with the men, I prayed, Father, it's not what we want. You know what we want. We always want it to turn out the way we want it. Amen. Come on now. But you see, we don't see the final outcome. We don't see the end of that. And whether we understand or not, there's a reason for what God does. And God's there, but he can't be in control, or he won't be in control of a situation you don't put him in control of. And that means whether it's you personally or a situation in your personal life, a loved one in your life, or your kids, you have the ability to speak into that situation a change. And once you speak that, you hang on to it, and don't you let go no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, or no matter how bad it gets. Do you hear what I'm saying? I told you at the onset. I said, I don't understand a lot of things, but I'm hanging on to Jesus, and I'm not letting go. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to John. 1 John, excuse me. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. We're just about to wrap it up, folks. Listen to me. Do not love the world. That can be just as simple as, you know, man, why can't I do that? Because you know you're a Christian. Because you know you've given your life to God. Why can't I do that? It says, do not love the world. For the things or the things that in the world. If anyone loves the world, listen to me, you can't serve God and man both. You can't serve God and the flesh both. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And that's exactly what you see out there. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve, the world or God. Are you going to trust the world, all the world has to offer? Educated people? People who have credentials that people just blindly go and trust? Or are you going to take on the whole armor of God, which is able to help you stand against all the fiery darts of the enemy and deflect those darts? That means pronouncements of doom, pronouncements of gloom, pronouncements of things that are uncontrolled by man. Well, we can't control it, so it's just futile. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did for you. And let me tell you where my hope is. It's not in you, sir or ma'am. It's in God. It's in the work of the Lord. Amen? Ooh, I love that kind of talk. And the world, listen. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. The lust of what? The lust of the world. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen? Now I'm here to tell you, it's just been in recent years that I've come to understand this. That last scripture, the world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And I asked myself at one time, when things that were close to me were at a higher place than God, that's why when I first heard, you know, Stan say, Lord, we place you at the highest place. I knew that was right. My spirit leaped and just heard that. But I couldn't just blurt it out because I knew it wasn't true. I knew there were things that I held more dear than I held the Word of God and God's presence in my life. If there is anything between you and God, then He's not at the highest place in your life. If there's anything that's going to cause you to break down and moan and cry, yes, we feel grief. We were created that way. That's not wrong. But if there's anything that will cause you to feel betrayed. Again, who's in control? The betrayal or the Spirit of God and the Word of God? Who's in control? Is God in control in you? Is He controlling you? Then those things out there, while they may hurt, you speak to those things and you know your peace and your joy doesn't come from the physical presence of things. It comes from God and God alone. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what the Lord just spoke to you? Amen. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. So good to me. Let's go to 1 John 4. Two more and we'll close. Verses 3 and 4. 1 John 4, verses 3 and 4. Can y'all still hear me? I know it sounds like my voice is fading. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. I've never had this happen in my life. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Listen to verse 4. You, I want you all to say that means me. You, that means me. You are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Oh, past tense, folks. You have overcome. How? Because He who is in you is greater than He who is in the world. You already have the overcoming power. You already have the overcoming faith. You already are an overcomer because He is in you. It's not your ability. It's not your thinking. It's your trusting in God. You're confessing the Word of God. Amen? That's the armor. That's the strength of what you have as a believer. Anything outside of that, I'm telling you, you're going down. You're going to feel betrayed. You're going to feel like God doesn't care, and that's a lie. Amen?
Amen?
I can tell you, I know. I can go back and count on my hands and toes the times when I know that God was there watching over me even when I didn't even realize it. And that's why I'm here today.
Amen.
I can count them. I can tell you. Man, right there, I saw that. That's one place I know. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. Or I'd be in a fix I didn't want to be in. Amen?
Amen?
You are of God, little children, have overcome them. Have overcome the past tense. Because He who is in you is greater than He who is in the world. Whenever you ask a question, that's part of the answer right there. The devil does not have a defense against the Word of God and the power of God. He has none. If he did, then he wouldn't have gotten thrown out of heaven, do you think? Well, don't think about yesterday. Thank God that yesterday's done and you're still the victor. Amen? Do you realize that any time selfishness comes on the scene, it brings deception? Oh, listen to me. Here's a revelation for you right now, hot off the press. Any time pride and selfishness comes on the scene, it brings deception. You got that? You might want to write that down. The devil was deceived. He said, I will exalt my throne. Oh, you will, huh? We'll see about that. And the next second he found himself down here crawling like a snake on the earth. What was that you said? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Say that again, please. The voice was silenced that fast. Because in Luke, it says, Jesus saw him like lightning fall from heaven. How fast is lightning? About less than a split second. Hallelujah! I'm going to give you one here at the end that you're going to, I'm telling you, if you don't get excited, I am going to pray for you to be raised from the dead. I mean it, man. Y'all, you can laugh if you want to, but I'm telling you.
But that's scary.
What's scary? What's scary? Why is it scary? What did we just read? The greater one dwells within you. The greater one. You are the head and not the tail. You are protected by God. You are a child of God. You have favor with God. Why is that scary? That's something you should be happy and rejoicing, saying, God, I thank you. It's not me, but it's you in me that causes these things. I know you're with me, Lord, because of what I see in front of my face every day. I know that you're in me, and I know that you're for me, and I know that you love me because of what I experience every day. And just because something happens, I get out of it, and the next day I see, and I thank you, Lord, it's because of you in me.
Amen.
That's what you should be thinking about, not being scared. What are you scared of him for? Deborah, the devil has been defeated once and for all. The only thing he has to use as a tool against you is negative thoughts in your mind, trying to control your thinking or putting negative thinking in your mind. That's the only weapon he has. He's under your feet, Deborah. What does the Word of God say, Deborah? The Word of God says that you are seated with Him as a believer at the right hand of God. You are part of the body and the church, and you are with Him. He's the head. You're the body. He's in control. Isn't the head in control of what you do? And what does He say is under His feet? What does He say is His footstool? The devil.
We have the armor of God.
Amen. Amen. And it's not our armor. It's God's armor. Helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, the shield of faith. Well, anyway, read Ephesians chapter 6 and you'll get it all. Amen?
Amen.
No, don't rejoice at that. Rejoice that you've been saved and your name's in the book of life. Don't rejoice that those powers are subject to you. Rejoice that your name's in the book of life. But rejoice that you have the answer that'll bless that man if he will listen to the voice of God and the voice of reason. And if you listen to the voice of God, you're listening to the voice of reason. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 17, verses 14, 16, and 24. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Or thank God that power is recognized. It's the same power that Smith Wigglesworth understood when the devil walked right into his bedroom clinking and clanging around with chains and all kinds of stuff. And that's an appropriate picture. He may not be in chains yet, but that was a picture of his future. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say something to you right now. Right here, right now, I want to say it to you. Don't be discouraged and focused on where you're not right now. Be encouraged and excited and focused on where you're going. And knowing that it's going to happen the way God designed it, and God's going to finish what He's begun in you.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Not you. He's going to finish if you will listen, obey, and honor His word, and you'll humble yourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Take up your cross every day. Amen?
Amen?
Take up your cross. What does that mean? You set your face like a flint, like the Scripture says, and do what God says, and you watch every outcome in every situation in your life turn around. If it doesn't happen today or tomorrow or in the next 10 minutes, don't get discouraged. Amen?
Amen?
Donna asked you this morning, how long is too long to believe? See, I know when it gets real quiet, I'm getting close to home. Here's what it says. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Excuse me. Verse 16 says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And verse 24 says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And didn't God tell you the same thing? See, Jesus is aware of it. That's why He's saying it. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Can I tell you what the Bible says? Let me just give you a newsflash. The Bible says that God has chosen the weak and beggarly elements of this world to confound the wise. When's the last time you thought about that scripture, Deborah? That's why God's telling you this morning. Think about that. See, Deborah, you're more than you know in your own heart. You have more than you know in your own thinking. God's not looking. Listen. You know why you have so much to struggle? Can I just be honest with you? And we're the same way. Everybody in this room is the same. It's not just Deborah. I'm not picking on you. The reason is because we have not settled that Jesus paid it all. Everything past, present, and future that you're going to do wrong, the mistakes you're going to make, is settled. And He only sees you through the grace. I'm going to read you a scripture here. And dear God, if that doesn't make you stand up and shout, then I'm going to pray for all of you to be raised from the dead. I'm telling you. How can you sit there and not get excited about the Word? This is God talking to you. This is God telling you who you are, what you have, and what your abilities are. And where did in one time did I read anything that said, you ain't there yet? It's not where you are, it's where you're going. Amen? Amen.
It's not the destination.
The journey, yes. Well, it is the destination, but it comes from the journey. Okay? You know, you're right. You're right. I'm not discrediting you. Amen. Amen. That's right. Exactly. Amen. That's where we should be. That's exactly right. Well said. Well said. Okay. Last one. There's actually two, but it's in one book. We're not going to have to change. Just change the page. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. Are you ready? Put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on. Listen to me. He's talking to you and I, and he's talking to all who are and who will become his children and his heirs. This is past tense because of the bruises, the blood, the stripes, and the wounds that Jesus took, and because he completed the work on the cross. This is what he says, and because the law has been fulfilled. The requirement that required judgment and justice to be done, or the suffering, or you to go through the penalty of your sin, it's been done away with. Now listen carefully. Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. What's he saying? I'll be merciful to what? Their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That covers me. Amen, Donna. That's for me. Now we're going to go down to chapter 10, verse 17. And with that, we'll close. Are you glad you came this morning? Are you encouraged? You should be so encouraged this morning. We sing the song, Christ is the answer for all your longing. Amen? Is he your answer? Is he where you run when you have a need or when something's disconcerting? When you were a child and you got afraid, what'd you do? I don't know about y'all, I beat feet in my mom and dad's room and I jumped them there between them and the blankets and I was safe and I knew it. Amen? Don't run from God, run to him. Amen? Verse 17, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Then he adds, anytime he says it twice, you know he's trying to make an emphasis. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you this morning. We praise you and worship you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Don't let the enemy drag you into being concerned about what you think you don't have or where you're not. Keep your focus on where you are, where he's brought you from, where he's taking you to, amen? And know of a surety, he's begun the good work. And he promised he would finish that work. He'd complete it. And he said he also put the clarification on until the day he returns. Amen? He's the author of your faith. You didn't just come up with a faith. He's the author of your faith. He called you before you were even a thought. In fact, before your mom and dad were even a thought. Before their mom and dads were thought. Clear back to before the world. The foundations of the world. What foundations are we talking about? Genesis 1:1. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if this message this morning doesn't show you how much God loves you and put that solidly in your spirit, then honey, I don't know what we're going to do for you. If that doesn't show you the love of God and how much he cares about you and how much he's interested in every little detail of your life, every little minor detail that you don't even consider as being important to anybody. Might be important to you, but you don't consider anybody else. It's important to him because he loves you, Deborah, like you've never been loved before. And that's why you have the ability, and I have the ability, and everyone here, to love sacrificially. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you encouraged? Are you strengthened this morning? Praise the Lord. I pray you are. I pray you are. Remember what I said. You may feel out of control. You may feel your situation's out of control from a physical or a carnal standpoint. a fleshly standpoint. But you're really in more control than you realize, because God, if God's got control of you, then He's in control and you're in control spiritually. What's manifest in the Spirit is manifest in the flesh, and what's manifest in the flesh is manifest in the Spirit. Where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. Is your treasure after the things of God? Is your treasure after His goodness? Do you believe Him? Do you see how many times and how many places in your life? Have you reflected this morning on where God has been in your life, and you can see very clearly that He was there all the time, just waiting patiently in line for you and I? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning. I thank You for encouragement. More than that, Lord, more than anything, I thank You for Your presence. And once again, I say, Lord, with everything within me and with joy, hilarity, and boasting in You, Lord, boasting in You, Lord, I praise You for who You are. The things that I have because of who You are and because of what You have done to, in, for, and through me, Lord, and each one who's here. I praise You and thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that no evil, Your word promises, no evil shall befall me or us. You are an ever-present help in our time of need. Father, seal Your word in our hearts. Let Your word be our focus. Let Your word be our confidence. Let Your promises be what we trust in, Lord, that You cannot lie, and You are the author of eternal salvation, not eternal damnation. Amen. Thank You in Jesus' name. Go with Your people. May they be encouraged as we take a few moments now to worship You, Lord. I'm not in a hurry to go, Lord. I just want to be in Your presence. I want to be where You are, Lord, dwelling in Your presence, living in Your presence, feasting at Your table, Lord. Amen. Father, right now, as we do take this time to praise You and worship You, Lord, we thank You for the blessing and, again, the bounty You've given us back in the back. We thank You for providing for us. We sanctify the food, the fellowship, in Jesus' name. Father, the things that are going, that are coming up for each individual here, Lord, I thank You that You're going with them, that You're encouraging them, You're lifting them up, and they are strengthened, and they are the head and not the tail. They are above only and not beneath. They are not victims. They are victors. And may they be mindful of that. Holy Spirit, please remind them of that as we were promised in the Word of God, that You would be an ever-present help and a comforter to us in our time of needs. Whatever that need is, I thank You that all needs are met because Jesus paid the price, and we are free and whole and healthy because of that work, in Jesus' name. If y'all agree with that, say amen. Are all hearts clear? Amen. Bless you all. I love y'all. I'm so glad you were here today, in spite of the weather. Maybe because of the weather, I don't care. As long as you're here, I don't care. Call somebody and bless them who's not here. Amen. Let them know they were missed. Hallelujah.